You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
If the theme of this sermon sounds familiar, that's because you've heard this melody before. In fact, I have openly threatened to preach on this topic every year until you've all got it memorized. And no, that's not because I've run out of ideas. It's because last week, all three speakers pointed to one thing that contributed to their having changed their minds when it comes to their faith. And it's also because of this one thing sitting right at the center of why Christianity in America feels so brittle, so exhausting, and so unconvincing to so many people right now. It's at the heart of why people are leaving organized religion in record numbers. It's at the heart of why younger generations look at the church and say, "No thanks." And it's at the heart of why so many faithful people feel spiritually burned out, even if they still even marginally believe in God. And remember, burnout isn't just about being tired. As a rule, burnout happens when the system you're operating in no longer fits reality, but you're required to keep pretending that it does. And for those laboring under the weight of conventional Christianity, it means pretending superficial answers still work in a complicated world. It means reducing faith to intellectual compliance. And sadly, what the church gets most wrong is that this spiritual burnout is not caused by faith being too complex. It's caused by faith being dumbed down and then rigidly enforced. And that's where our reading from Hebrews comes in today. The author of Hebrews, not Paul, as some of your Bibles still suggest, is frustrated. Not because the people are immoral, not because they've lost their faith, but because they have stopped growing. They've stalled out, satisfied with simple answers they don't have to think about, wrestle with, or apply to anything in the broader world. In the language of Hebrews, they want milk when they're long overdue to move to solid food. And because Eugene Peterson's paraphrase says it better than any translation does, we're hearing his Message version again this morning. It's blunt. It cries out with exasperation and should leave little doubt as to what the problem was then and continues to be today.
Our words of wisdom are from Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 11, through chapter 6, verse 1a, the Message version. I have a lot more to say, but it is hard to get it across to you since you've picked up this bad habit of not listening. By this time, you ought to be teachers yourselves. Yet here I find you need someone to sit down with you and go over the basics on God again, starting from square one. Baby's milk, when you should have been on solid food long ago.
Milk is for beginners, inexperienced in God's ways. Solid food is for the mature, who have some practice in telling right from wrong. So come on, let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
I don't mean to shock you, but we're living in a moment when what has come to be called Christianity is actively driving people away from Jesus. Not that this is a new thing. For time immemorial, Christians have made threatening others into compliance and generally misrepresenting Jesus for their own devices into a fine art. but it's different today. Christianity doesn't have the same cultural weight it used to have. So, we're seeing rising abandonment of Christianity across the board. Younger generations are not just drifting away from church, they are rejecting Christianity outright, often with a general sense of bewilderment that anyone had ever embraced such intellectual and moral dishonesty. People still believe in God or a higher power of some kind, but the church just exhausts them. They're tired of pretending to have a certainty they don't feel. They're exhausted by defending answers that no longer work. So, people are walking away. But not because Christian faith is too demanding or too complex. They're walking away because the version of Christianity that has become the norm can't tolerate reality. It won't adapt. It won't learn. It won't admit when the world has changed. Some of you will remember the late Reverend Michael Dowd from the several times that he spoke here at the Fountains. In Living the Questions series, Painting the Stars, Michael said, "The problem is we have millions, billions of religious people whose inner map of what's real is 2,000 years old. They're trying to guide their lives in terms of what's important based on an ancient map of reality. If you're trying to drive from St. Louis to Portland, Oregon, and your GPS hasn't been reprogrammed since 1840, all you've got on the map is the Oregon Trail, and you're not going to get there." People are trying to navigate a modern world with ancient, outdated ideas of faith, and then bailing out when they get lost. But there is a solution. And much to the chagrin of some of you, I revisit it every year. And it's called the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. The quadra what? The quadrilateral. Basically a fancy word for the four sides. And for John Wesley, those four sides were the four elements of thinking things through, of making faithful decisions. And the four elements are scripture, tradition, experience, and reason. And since their initials spell steer, I've taken to using the metaphor of a car, where each wheel is one of these critical elements. If even one of those wheels is overinflated, flat, or missing, you're likely to either not be going anywhere or headed straight for a ditch. And this is where Wesley's particular genius comes into play. Wesley didn't articulate a particular theology to which all Methodists must adhere. He developed a method by which Methodists could make their way in the world. Scripture, tradition, experience, and reason are all important, but they all have to be equally inflated and aligned if we're going to get anywhere. But acknowledging that reality is always changing, this year even the quadrilateral operating system is getting an upgrade. From four tires to the four critical elements of your mobile GPS navigation system. Now, I don't know about you, but I use my GPS even between home and work. I've been doing it long enough, you'd think I'd know the way, right? But I've completely lost count of the number of times I've been rerouted because of an accident or a marathon blocking my regular route. This simple habit has saved me countless hours of sitting in gridlocked traffic or having to backtrack or getting frustrated trying to find my own alternate route. So, here's how it works. Scripture is the well-established terrain. A city here, a town there, rivers, mountains, it's all there. Tradition is the accumulated wisdom of all the routes others have taken before us. You looking for a faster route? The scenic route? You want to avoid tolls? Tradition has got that data. Reason brings in the magic of satellite technology and crowdsourcing. Reason gives your GPS device the capacity to interpret all sorts of real-time data and recalculate your route when the GPS of other folks somewhere along your route run into heavy traffic or a hazard. But experience is the one element I'm trying to convince my kids is the most important driving skill. Set aside all the maps, your intended route, and whatever somebody else over the horizon is experiencing. Personal experience is the real-time data you are collecting with your own eyeballs by looking straight out of the windshield in front of you. No GPS is going to help you if you are merging onto the freeway and forget to look over your left shoulder for any cement trucks barreling down on you from behind. Situational awareness matters. That's experience talking. And just like with tires, each one of these elements has their own denominational equivalent. Let's start with your fundamentalist or Southern Baptist GPS. In the unlikely event it even is an electronic device, it's displaying a map or scripture from several millennia ago. No updates based on newfangled cartography have been allowed. The edge just kind of fades out, and someone has drawn in a fantastical beast and the warning, "Here be dragons." Modern freeways are avoided as the product of liberal propaganda. If you miss a turn, it doesn't recalculate. It shouts, "Repent, sinner!" If you stop at a bridges out barrier and refuse to follow the GPS instructions to drive across the bridge that you can plainly see has been washed away, your driver's license is revoked for lack of faith. No questions, no hesitation, no deviation allowed, ever. If you've got Catholic GPS, it's all about tradition. It's preset to follow the official route only. Recalculation based on your observations of current conditions? Nope. Any route change requires consultation with a priest and, if particularly complicated, approval from the Vatican. If you miss a turn, the voice does not say recalculating. It says, say three Hail Marys and return to previously established route. Not to say that the Catholic system is without strengths. It offers continuity, stability, a sense that you're part of something ancient and enduring. But it struggles mightily when the road itself has changed and not even a pope named Bob is allowed to say so out loud. Behold the Episcopalian or Unitarian GPS. Because it is driven primarily by reason, it is sleek, thoughtfully elegant, and beautifully designed. It is inclusive of multiple routes, each carefully color-coded, and each valued equally. It never raises its voice. It never rushes or corrects you. It calmly informs you, that's okay. Multiple routes are available. It gathers information from far and wide. It weighs options and considers the best outcome for everyone on the road, often making multiple recalculations on the fly. Because it values not being wrong and taking everyone's opinion into consideration, in the end, it honors whatever route you choose to take, as long as it does no harm to others. And then there's the Methodist GPS. The Methodist GPS is all about the here and now. The Methodist GPS doesn't need no stinking map or knowledge of the past, or obsession with overthinking things. It's got its feelers out on the pavement all around the vehicle. It's looking out all the windows at what's going on around it. It recalculates not based on information from some distant satellite. It recalculates based on the fact that, you know, the sunset looks so beautiful behind those mountains and clouds right now. Let's just pull over and appreciate the moment. Or maybe it sees a little girl fall off her bicycle and starts to cry. The GPS voice says, "Stop vehicle, render assistance to injured child." And this is the very reason a lot of people are uncomfortable with Methodists. Our GPS defaults to routes based not on old maps, what's been done before, or what makes sense, but on what feels right. So, there they are, each of their own, with advantages and shortcomings. And in the end, the trick is to not get stuck running only one of these proprietary denominational GPS systems. Make sure the operating system on your spiritual GPS has been updated to take into consideration all the data available, the actual physical terrain everyone acknowledges, Scripture, the latest street updates from the Department of Transportation, tradition, all the satellite and crowdsourced real-time data it can find, reason, plus an awareness of what's going on immediately surrounding your vehicle, experience. It takes all of them working together, plus your own in-the-moment powers of observation to give you the kind of situational awareness to get you where you're going safely. And that is Wesley's true gift to the practice of Christianity. Not a rigid, unchanging truth, but a method by which we can work through the challenges of life with integrity together. Scripture serves as a foundation from which we can all claim a common story. Tradition gives us examples of practices that have endured over time, for both good and ill. Reason demands that whatever we do makes sense. And experience is where it all meets with actual human bodies, actual suffering, actual joy, stress-tested against reality. But Wesley didn't actually come up with this quadrilateral all alone. Evidently, Jesus was a proto-Methodist himself. Remember when Jesus is asked whether Jews should pay taxes to Rome? Clearly, it was a trap. Say no, and he's accused of being a revolutionary. Say yes, and he's a collaborator. So Jesus asks for a coin. Whose image is on it? Caesar's? And what does it say? Divi Caesari? Caesar the divine? Well, that violates both Jewish tradition and scripture. No graven images, no other gods. Add to that Jesus' personal experience and awareness of the tax revolts and violent crackdowns in the region during his time, and he reasons that, considering the negative consequences of not paying taxes, best to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and be done with it. So Caesar gets some stupid coins. Everything else belongs to God. An answer that honors scripture, tradition, experience, and reason all at once. Not a clever dodge, discernment. No matter how many times Jesus was asked direct questions, he would always offer a challenging comeback, tell a perplexing story, or ask another question. Why? To create just enough disequilibrium in his hearers' minds to make them think. Which is why I keep preaching this sermon. Like Jesus, Methodism doesn't tell you what to think, it teaches you how to think about what's important, relevant, and faithful to Jesus' vision. It doesn't just assume that the faith you had as a 10-year-old will work as an adult. It expects your faith to grow, that your understanding will change, that your GPS will need to recalculate based on the information at hand. A quadrilateral GPS doesn't dictate where you have to go, but it can help you get where you're trying to go without driving into a lake. That's the genius of Wesley's method. Methodism doesn't give you a single approved theological destination. It gives you a way to navigate life faithfully in a changing world. And yet, ironically, it's one of the least understood and least celebrated gifts Methodism has ever offered the world. Because most people don't want a navigation system. They just want certainty that where they're at right now, the same place many of them were theologically in the sixth grade, is just fine. Please don't make me think. Which brings us right back to Hebrews and the author's appeal to just grow up. It's not anger. It's impatience with people who've been lulled into spoon-fed immaturity. Growing up in Christ doesn't mean clinging tighter to old answers. It means learning how to tell right from wrong in a world that is no longer simple. It means trusting that whatever the divine is, it can handle your adult questions. And it means having the courage to let the GPS recalculate a new route for you. In a religious landscape full to overflowing with people pretending they know more than they do, Methodism offers something radical. Permission to be honest, to question, to change directions. And the quadrilateral doesn't make faith easier. It gives people a way to face the real issues of life with integrity, be it immigration, racism, broken relationships, illness, climate change, gun violence, LGBTQ plus inclusion, reproductive health care. Not by handing you prepackaged answers, but by giving you a method to engage the world's issues faithfully. Scripture matters. Tradition matters. Experience matters. Reason matters. Ignore any one of them, and you're likely going to find yourself driving into a ditch. But engage them all with integrity, and you're on your way to a spiritual journey that's resilient, honest, and resistant to burnout. The author of Hebrews urges the community to grow up, to practice discernment, to move beyond simple answers. Wesley called it going on to perfection, not moral flawlessness, but maturity. And maturity means the ability to adapt, to learn, and be creative in putting love first in a complicated world. And along the way, Maya Angelou's very Methodist advice is, do the best you can until you know better. Then, when you know better, do better. Friends, the quadrilateral remains one of the most uncelebrated gifts Methodism has ever offered the world, and remains one of the best navigation systems Christianity has ever produced. It doesn't promise certainty. It encourages integrity. It doesn't demand compliance. It invites maturity. It doesn't protect you from ambiguity. It teaches you how to live with your questions. And in a religious landscape filled with suspicion, burnout, rigidity, and fear. Wesley's quadrilateral offers something quietly radical, a GPS for wholeness. And that's why I'm still a Methodist. Be well.
Hey, and don't forget, if you like what you heard today, buy me a coffee.
Thanks, Ryan.
Anytime.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.wepuTloveFirst.org.